My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea, down deep in the sea. So deep they shall never be brought against me, down deep in the sea. Of the sea, the sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. My soul is rejoicing, my sins are all gone, down deep in the sea. And all of the dread of the past is now ceased, down deep in the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. From sin's condemnation I am now released, down deep in the sea. And all of the dread of the past is now ceased, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past, thank God, are all gone at last. Down in the depths of the sea.
Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Oh, you say, I heard him sing that the last time he sang. He only knows three songs, folks, so. But I'll listen to all of them over and over again. I'd rather have Jesus as a volunteer and down in the depths of the sea. Those are three he knows. But I enjoy Scott. I enjoy him personally. And his singing is a blessing. Amen. Seriously, Philippians chapter 1 today in your Bible, find that passage. If you're getting used to your Bible, you get the New Testament, you go past the book of Romans and Corinthians, and then you'll come to Philippians. So find chapter 1. If you're able to stand in honor of God's word, help me this morning. Join us. Standing, I'll begin reading with verse 3. Paul's writing, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Here's a great verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm not preaching on that verse, but that is a tremendous verse right there. So many newly saved people in the congregation now. There was a day that the work of salvation began in your life. It was the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. And God will continue that good work until the day that you see Jesus. Isn't that exciting? That's great to know. Verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. Look at what he says in verse 7, inasmuch as both in my bonds. I want to speak this morning on this subject, chained, but free. Chained, but free. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for the good service so far, the wonderful singing, the fellowship with your people. These are the folks that I love dearly. I thank you for the privilege of being with them today. We miss those that can't be here. Father, thank you for several college students home. Bless those that are traveling, returning with safety if they go back tonight, on the way, tomorrow, whatever. Thank you for them. Thank you for being good to us this week and beyond this week, all the weeks of our life. Help us this morning. God, help us to get this. It's so needful right now, especially. Help us to get it. And help us to be filled with your Spirit, both speaker and listener, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. So last Monday, I was on my way home in the afternoon from the church here, and my wife asked me to stop at Kroger and pick up 4 items. I did pretty good. I got the 4 she wanted and 3 more that I could not resist. The bakery department had their muffins half price. So a package of those. And then when I was going through past the dairy case, 2 half gallons of eggnog just jumped out of the case and landed in my basket. And I thought, oh, well, that works too. So, but anyway, it's dangerous to ask a man to stop at the store. Dangerous. As I pulled into the parking lot, I got out of my truck and I was walking around the back of the truck to make my way into the store. And a little old lady, and I'm not being unkind, I'm describing her, a little old lady, bent over a little bit, was making her way into the store at the same time I was. And she rebuked me. Not in a bad way. Not in a mean way. But a good one. So I'm walking there. I didn't really even pay much attention to her. And all of a sudden she speaks. That's a nice truck. You don't associate pickup trucks with little old ladies, but she said, that's a nice truck. I said, thank you, I like it. And she said, well, that's all that matters, that you like it. And I kind of chuckled. But, you know, I mean, you don't make conversation with people. You're preoccupied. And so we walked on a few more steps, and she said, well, I hope you have a very nice Thanksgiving day. And it was almost like she was expecting me to tell her that. And but she had a big smile on her face. And hope you have a very nice Thanksgiving day. And to be honest with you, I was ashamed. She was being kind and friendly, and I was too preoccupied to say anything to her. So I just kind of said, thank you too. And I was ashamed of myself. That lady was more than happy. She was joyful. I passed her in the store 2 or 3 times on my meandering through. You know, the safe thing for a man is to go right to where he's supposed to go and not meander off course. But that's what happens. We meander. And I saw her a couple, 3 more times, and she was a joyful lady. You know, you just don't meet people like that out and about very often. I don't go to stores often. But I can't remember the last time a person spoke to me out of the blue like that, complimenting a vehicle. I was impressed and I was rebuked. And the truth of the matter is that a lot of people don't have any joy in life. None. Their hearts are bound up with chains of depression, chains of disgust, defeat, disappointment, sometimes discouragement. That's true about most lost people, and even more sad, it's true about some saved people. There are humorous things that happen, and you know, when they happen, we chuckle, we laugh at them. But joy is different, folks, than humor. Joy is like a fountain that springs up from within. Joy is not dependent on outside circumstances or humorous things. Joy, you know what joy? Joy springs out of a heart that's not in chains. And we have a perfect example of this in our text today with the Apostle Paul. People, when he wrote the book of Philippians, he is in prison. More than likely in the city of Rome. Now, prison was not an unusual place for Paul to be found. But not because he broke laws all the time. Everywhere Paul traveled, there was either revival or riot, and sometimes both. And when riots broke out, they were caused by unsaved people or the religious elites of the day who hated Jesus Christ, they hated the message of Christ, and didn't want Paul preaching it. And sometimes those riots resulted in him being imprisoned. And during this imprisonment, he writes four letters. We have four copies of those letters in our book. Three of them went to churches. One went to an individual, Philemon. And Philippians, which was written to the church at Philippi, was one of the three written to a local church. And Paul mentions his imprisonment four times in chapter one. Four times. In the first chapter, look, it's found in verse number 7, where he says, my bonds. Look with me at verse number 13, so that my bonds in Christ. Verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. Verse 16, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Bonds, bonds, four times. The word means chained or shackled. That's what it means. So Paul is chained. He is shackled. When you read the New Testament, it seems that the word, and even the Old Testament, it seems that the word stocks was used when a prisoner's feet were bound, and bonds was used when their hands were chained or shackled. So we can assume that Paul's hands, to some degree, were chained or shackled, but not so much so that he could not write. And it's very clear that his imprisonment was on his mind. Again, he mentions it four times, but now wait. Incredibly, throughout the book of Philippians, Paul uses the word joy six times. He uses the word rejoice 10 times. He uses the word rejoicing and rejoiced one time each. Add those up. Paul uses some form of the word joy 18 times in four short chapters from prison. One thing that sticks out so largely that cannot be ignored. Paul's hands were in chains, but not his heart. His heart was free. He was chained, but free. How many of God's people go through life with their hands unchained, unshackled, but their heart bound in such a way that they have no joy? Now, ideally, it would be great to have both heart and hands unchained and free to enjoy serving the Lord. But Paul spent many days in his life with his hands chained, but his heart was free. Now, my question this morning is, how does a person keep an unchained heart when their outward circumstances are not good? How does that happen? How did Paul have joy full, joy free, while bound with chains in prison? The only way, people, that is possible is because Paul's mind, Paul's thoughts, were not on Paul. They were not on Paul. They weren't on his circumstances. Do you remember the acronym for joy? J-O-Y. Jesus, others, you. Amen. That's simple, but true. That's on display in this text. Look at verse number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. He mentions Jesus Christ twice, and he mentions the saints in verse 1. Grace be unto you. There's the saints at Philippi. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the Godhead. I thank my God. Verse 3, there's the Godhead. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. There's the saints in Philippi. So he mentions both the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and the Philippian people in the first three verses of his letter. He also does it in verse 6. He also does it in verse 8. He also does it in verse 10. As Paul writes, the Godhead and the saints at Philippi, the church members there, are on his mind. He doesn't mention his bonds until the 7th verse. So over and over again, he's mentioning some part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. He's mentioning the saints, the church members at the church at Philippi. He doesn't mention his bond until verse number 7. His hands are chained, but his heart is free. I don't want to go through life with my hands unchained and my heart bound. My heart chained so that I have no joy. I'm not talking about humor and happiness. I'm talking about joy. That fountain springing up from within that gives us joy. I don't want to go through life like that. So my question, I want to find out here, what exactly was Paul's mind on in this prison cell that could have him mention some form of the word joy 18 times? There are people sitting in this room, not in prison physically, but you have no joy. You have no joy. I'm not downing you. I'm not throwing a rock at you. I'm trying to help us this morning. It ought to be that you and I go through life not only with our hands unchained, but our hearts free too. So what happened? What's going on here with the Apostle Paul? Well, first of all, let me say this. Paul was reminded of his position as a servant of Jesus Christ. A servant of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 1 again. The first thing he says, the first thing out of his pen, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Paul was not the master of his life. Jesus was. Many times in the New Testament, especially, the definition of the word servant is bond slave. That's true here. So Paul says to Paul and me and Timothy, the bond slaves of Jesus Christ. That's a bond slave. The definition of bond slave, one who voluntarily gives himself up to another's will. He voluntarily gives himself up to another's will. He is not made to be a servant. He volunteers to become a servant. He's all in. It's his own choice. He's all in being a servant. And the truth of the matter is, people, since that day on the road to Damascus when Paul got saved, he had voluntarily given himself up to the will of God by serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I remind you about that experience without having you turn there? Do you remember the first question out of his mouth, when the bright light from heaven shone? The first question out of his mouth was, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus identified himself. The next question out of Paul's mouth, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" I'm telling you, from the time he got saved on the Damascus Road, from that moment in time, Paul gave himself up voluntarily to be a bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though he was in prison, he could rest. He had peace that as a servant of Christ, he was exactly where God wanted him to be at that particular point in time. Now, maybe he didn't enjoy it. He probably wasn't clapping his hands and singing, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm in prison." But his heart wasn't chained. His heart was free. His joy was full. Paul's life was not his own. It belonged to God, and he spent it in service to Jesus Christ. It was not always easy, but you know what he said? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Whatever condition serving Jesus Christ has put me in, I'm okay with it. That's it. And folks, that's not elementary school stuff. That's heavy. As a servant, if his master's will was a comfortable bed in luxurious accommodations, Paul was content. as a servant if his master's will was a stone slab in a cold prison cell, Paul was content. He had learned to rejoice in serving his master. So in this prison, as he penned this letter, his hands were chained, but his heart was free, knowing that as a bond slave of Jesus, he was right where Jesus had him be. Right there. Now, do you know how many of God's people today, with unchained hands, have hearts that are bound because they're not content? They're not content. Somehow, they have it in their minds, I don't miss this, that they deserve better than what they are experiencing in life. Let me tell you something. You may be on the upper end of the financial spectrum, or you may be on the lower end, but that has never, does not now, nor will it ever determine your joy. Living on the upper end of the financial scale may make life a little easier, but it does not create joy. There are billionaires and multimillionaires who have to find happiness in their outside circumstances in filthy humor because they have no fountain of joy springing up in their soul. None whatsoever. Joy is the result of having enough, no matter what that enough is, because my main focus in life is not how much I can get, how much I can have. My main focus in life is being a servant of Jesus Christ. If I have steak or hot dogs, it's enough. If the cupboards are full or if the cupboards are scarce, it's enough. If I have a new house or if I have an old one, it's enough. If I have a fancy car or a plain one, it's enough. Joy is the result. And by the way, folks, do you understand how important this is? Because we're already being programmed by even the conservative news outlets that we can't have a happy Thanksgiving and we can't have a Merry Christmas because inflation is high and gas is high and the supply chain has made this more expensive and American people just can't have a Merry Christmas and can't have a happy Thanksgiving because of all these things on the outside. I beg to differ with that. They're programming us. And I understand why the conservative outlets are doing it. They don't want people to vote liberal next year. They want to remind us over and over again how unhappy we are, how much we're doing without, how much everything costs, how much this is, well, this and this, and then you can't be happy. You can't even have a Merry Christmas. Your whole Christmas is going to be, I don't know if Santa will have enough gas to get in his sleigh and come from the North Pole and visit everybody. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm reading about a man who is a real man, and he's in a real prison, and he's in real chains, and he just talks about joy, 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 rejoicing. I'm happy, not just happy, I'm joyful. Don't tell me about supply chain shortage and inflation. I don't know what the inflation was in Paul's day. I don't know how much supply chain shortage trouble they had, but I know one thing. Here's a man in prison who's as happy as a tomcat in a room full of rocking chairs. That's not right. Tomcat wouldn't be happy in a room. What did Brother Brown used to say? As happy as a coon in the cornfield with the hound dogs tied. That's it, right there. He's joyful. I mean, I had the wrong illustration. Forgive me, Brother Brown. You did better than that. Now, I'm not kidding. Joy is the result of wherever I am and whatever I have, it's enough because I'm a servant of Jesus. You know, I say this a lot, I guess. I hope you young people are listening. Because the world's programming you to believe that you can't be happy without things. Stuff. The more stuff you get, the happier you are. The more joy you'll have. That's never been true. It's not true now. It will never be true. Joy does not spring up with you in your heart based on what you have. It will never be true. So don't buy into that. Here's what's true. Serving Jesus with your life will bring you true joy. And you get to the place where whatever you have, wherever you are, you're content because the priority in your life is serving Christ. There's where, look, folks, there's no other way to explain this. Paul is in prison, and in prison, that was enough because he was a bond slave of Jesus. Well, I don't want to live like that. Well, Paul's hands were chained, but his heart was free. How are we doing? Tell you what we got today. We got a lot of Christians who have free hands and chained hearts. We don't have any joy. Paul's mind was on his master's will. He was on his master's will. And it's true. It's so evident. Specifically, the preaching of the cross of Christ. Look at verse number 14. Look at verse 14 in your scripture here, okay? Look at what Paul said. He's in prison. He says, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He said, man, I'm in jail, but really it's resulted in people preaching more boldly. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. In other words, some of them weren't even sincere in their preaching. They were taking a stab at the Apostle Paul. I suppose if you're following Christ, you end up in prison, right? Yeah, right. They're taking a stab at him. Look what it says in verse 16. Though, and some of goodwill, it says, verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Somebody was out there preaching the Bible, preaching the gospel in such a way that it was supposed to make Paul more miserable. Look at verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Here's the thing. Verse 18 is it. What then? English for you and me, so what? So what? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, insincerely, or in truth, sincerely, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul, you're in prison. So what? Paul, you're chained. So what? They're preaching to take a stab at you. So what? They're preaching and teaching to add affliction to your bonds, making fun of you. So what? Can you see that Paul's mind was not on himself? Wasn't about him. It was about his master. It was about Jesus Christ. He said, I don't care if they're taking pot shots at me. Taking pot shots at me, they're mentioning Jesus. They're lifting up the name of Christ. And I say, amen. Shoot away, boys. Christ is preached. I'm going to tell you, folks, this kind of Christianity right here, I'm sorry, I fall short of this. And don't look at me so piously. You do too. It's because we're not here. The priority of many of our lives is not serving Christ, that Christ be magnified. So Paul basically is saying, put me in prison, put me in chains. If it means that Jesus' name is lifted up, I don't care. Amen, but I can't say that. Don't put me in prison. I don't want to go to prison. All right? This is amazing, Christian, but it's here. And it's challenging to us. Can you and I rejoice in the advancement of the cause of Christ, even though we personally may not be advancing as much as we want? What if we're going backwards and the cause of Christ is going forward? How many of us would rejoice? I got my hours cut, but praise God, I still serve the Lord Jesus. I don't like this. Supply chain shortage. I can't have a Merry Christmas because gas is so high. Are you chained? Are you chained? Not your hands, but your heart. I mean, this is to me, every time I read this, I just think, oh, Lord. if persecution results in a more purified church and a greater fruitfulness in people coming to Christ, can you and I rejoice in that? Bond servants voluntarily give themselves up in service to their master and to the advancement of their master's cause gives them great joy. People, do you want to go through life with your heart unbound, unchained? Do you want to go through life full of joy? Give yourself voluntarily to serve your master. Turn your will over to Jesus and be content as you serve him. Look, I'm not saying sell all your goods and sell your house and sleep out in the street. I'm not saying that. Do the best you can when it comes to this world's goods. Do the best you can when it comes to this world's positions at works, at work. Do the best you can when it comes to materials. But when you've done the best you can, be content as you see the cause of Christ advancing, even if you're not. Be content. This life is not about us if we're serving the Lord. It's about Jesus Christ. If you have to live with your hands chained, your heart can still be free of disappointment, discouragement, and despair, and instead be full of joy. Paul was reminded of his position as a servant of Jesus Christ. That was the first thing out of his pen. In prison, I'm serving Christ. They're preaching against you, Paul. Preaching about. So what? I mean, you're in chains. I don't care. This is where God wants me. It's where I want to be. Ouch. So Paul was reminded of his position as a servant of Christ. Number two, and this is the last point. Only 2 points this morning. Paul was reminded of people in whom he had an investment. Now, wait a minute, because I'm going somewhere. Remember the little acronym? Joy. J is Jesus. O is others. Paul was reminded of his position as a servant of Christ. There's your J. Here is your O. He was reminded of people in whom he had an investment. Look at verse number 3 again. We read it just a moment ago. Chapter, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul, you're in prison. It's obvious that even in prison, Paul was thinking of the people in the church at Philippi. He was praying for them, remembering them, longing to fellowship with them. And he was confident in their growth. Paul, aren't you down? Paul, aren't you disheartened? You're in prison. Aren't you disgusted how things have turned out for you? You're in prison. Your hands are chained. How in the world can you rejoice? Paul said, I'm not thinking about that. I'm not, my mind's not on that. What is your mind on, Paul? I'm a servant of Christ. And I'm thinking about those dear saints in the church at Philippi. I'm thinking about Lydia and her husband and her kids who got saved. I'm thinking about that old burly, mean jailer who got saved. And Mrs. Jailer and all the little jailer children. They all got saved. And now the church has grown. And I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I'm rejoicing in the investment I have had in the lives of these dear Philippian converts. I am thankful that they had a time in life when they got saved. I am thankful that the God who saved them is going to continue to work in their lives. I'm thankful that that work will continue until the day they see Jesus. How can I complain? How can I murmur and be disheartened when the people I love are doing so well? How are you doing? It doesn't matter. What matters is they're doing well. Are you with me on this? This is so up here. I'm like, Lord, help me. Help me. But this is the truth. This is the word of God from the Philippians, from the Roman jail. How wonderful to have people in whom you have invested time. How wonderful to have people into whom you've invested love effort and prayer. How wonderful to live with your heart unchained and free to rejoice in seeing others grow and others advance in their service for Christ. You know, we have a man in church now who has seen two of his brothers come to Christ for salvation since he came here. Two of his brothers. And sickness kind of going through the family. That's why they're not here this morning. I'm sure that he is full of joy. I know he is. As he has seen his investment in their lives bring fruit. And people, for someone like that, when the chips get down for him personally, he can still find reason to rejoice in the fact that his brothers are saved. Look, I understand the lost world walking around right now with a long face, complaining and murmuring and griping and this. I understand it. But God help us. We're saved. And if we have voluntarily given ourselves over to serving Jesus, and we've learned to let that be the priority, so I'm content with however anything turns. I'm not saying just fold your arms, sit on the couch and do nothing. Whatever comes, I'm content with. That's foolish. I'm not saying that. Paul was aggressive. Paul was a go-getter. He wasn't idle. All the revivals he preached and the churches he started, he also made tents. He worked nonstop. But when the circumstances turned south, it's obvious that the corners of his mouth didn't. And I'll tell you what, now I'm going to meddle for a few minutes here, just a couple minutes. I understand somebody coming to church one week, the next week, this week. Whoa! What's happening out there is not supposed to be the source of my joy. I get to serve Christ. That cost me. Oh, you ever see the comics that had the little stars and the thing and all that? Your salvation cost Jesus a whole lot. So get off this cost stuff. This is no fairy tale. The important matter is that not only are we servants of Christ, but we're living for somebody else, invested in someone. It starts right there in your house with your children. Invest in them. Teach them, lead them, guide them, direct them, pour yourself into them, Dad, Mom. Starts right there. But then it ought to ooze out beyond the four walls of your house to other Christians, to other unsaved people. Invest your... I'm trying to think if I should tell you something or not. I don't really want to. I am not boasting. I'm just. Remember this young lady that got killed? Oh, a couple days after that, our daughter Hannah texted and said, "Dad, no." Her brother-in-law texted. Her brother-in-law texted and said, "Brother Angel, Leah got saved after one of the messages you preached at Cedar River Baptist Camp 10 years ago." Folks, you don't know. You don't know how God uses you if you just invest in others. Invest in others. If you're only self-invested, then you better hope that your job is secure, your bank account is stable, your health is good, and everyone that you love is doing well if you're only invested in yourself. Because when those things go south for you, But if you're invested in others, do you know how many funerals I've preached? I've done way more funerals than weddings. And you do a funeral, you generally give you $100 for the funeral home. You know, from church members, I don't take anything. I give it back to you. Give it back to the funeral. If I get back to the funeral home, I don't know what he'll do with it. Go eat steak on it, maybe. So I'm not. You know how many funerals Mike Bragg has preached? How many funerals have you preached, Brother Bragg? 3. He got $500 for preaching one funeral. I think he ought to just make himself available for funerals. $500. One funeral. You know what? I'm bitter. Ticks me off. It really doesn't. Hey, I've told Keith Harrison, Brother Harrison was here, Sister Pastor. We're going down to Riverside Hospital to make a visit. We get out of the car. Here's a $10 bill on the sidewalk. I pick it up. I put it in my pocket. I have a 5. I give Keith 5. He said, no. You saw it. I said, no. We're together. I share it with you. Golden touch here. Gets out of the car at St. Mary's, finds a $100 bill. And nobody was with him to share it with. Mick and I used to, we used to talk when he wasn't around. And that guy didn't get the golden touch. Everything he does, just walks into it. Can you rejoice in somebody else's party? If you're at home and you're not feeling well and you're sick and your bank account's running on E and your job's insecure and you're about the church member who's just flourishing, can you rejoice in that? I'm just preaching this morning from the book on how you can have, even if your hands are chained, your heart can be free. This is no fairy tale. A man is in prison for doing nothing wrong. His hands are in chains, but his heart is full of joy. He is rejoicing. His heart is not discouraged. I agree. This is not the norm. But it probably should be. This is supernatural. This is beyond the pale. For the greatest percentage of people in this world, even Christian people, there is a way to live without chains binding your heart, even when your hands are bound. Major on serving Christ. Make that a priority. And I'm going to just say it and move on, but you're showing up for a church service is not, that's not enough. It's voluntarily giving yourself up to serve Him. Major on investing in others. Go through this life with your eyes open, looking for opportunities as to how you can invest in the lives of. Look, I understand Paul set the bar high. Not Paul. God set the bar very high for us. But here's the thing, folks. Paul was no super Christian. He had many of the same personal struggles you and I have in this life. If we make serving Christ and investing in others more important than serving and investing in ourselves, we too will have joy. And it'll show up in our life. It may be with something as simple as, that's a nice truck. Have a happy Thanksgiving Day. It may be that simple. Chained, but free. Free. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts from it this morning. Help us not to live a self-invested life. Help us to live a life that is invested in serving you and living for others. J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, ourselves last. This is setting the bar high, but with your Spirit's power, and the power in your word, we can live it. So help us to examine our hearts this morning. Please, are we your servant? Are we investing in others? Help us, I pray, today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to me from His book this morning about my life. I need to examine my heart's service for Christ, my investment in others, and my prioritizing those. Maybe you're a little out of priority this morning. God spoke to me. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting this morning? God bless you. Amen. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Is there anybody like that here today? Member, visitor, front to back, side to side. I'm not sure I'm saved. Could I see your hand? Anybody like that here today? See a young child's hand? That's wonderful. That's great. The Spirit of God begins to work on a little child's heart. If you're here today, you've been saved but not baptized since you've been saved, you want to obey Christ, you can come this morning, tell one of these men, I've been saved, I need to get baptized when the invitation begins. But let's let God speak to our hearts today. We're living in a world right now that's pretty chaotic. God's people should have a free heart. Father, convict us, challenge us, encourage us today to make sure that our priority in life is serving you and investing in others. And thank you for the joy that will result in Christ's name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And invitation time. If you need to pray, now the altar is open. Many, many hands were raised. I appreciate that. It's always good to use the altar. The mourner's bench, they called it. How did God speak to you this morning? You need to get baptized. You need to be saved. Why don't you come this morning? It's so easy. I'm not being critical this morning. It's so easy to be self-invested. So easy to be self-serving. May God help us.